Our scripture reading today is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2. And if you wish to follow in the Pew Bible, you will find that on page 295. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, and I will read from verse 4. It says, "Come to the Lord, the living stone, rejected by man as worthless, but chosen by God as valuable. Come as living stones, and let yourselves be used in building the spiritual temple, where you will serve as holy priests to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. For the scripture says, 'I chose a valuable stone, which I am placing as the cornerstone in Zion, and whoever believes in him will never be disappointed.' This stone is of great value for you that believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. And another scripture says, 'This is the stone that will make people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. They stumbled because they did not believe in the word. Such was God's will for them. But you are the chosen race, the king's priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time, you were not God's people, but now you are his people. At one time, you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received his mercy." Let us pray. Lord, as we come to your word, open our ears to hear your voice as your spirit speaks to us through these words, inspired by your Holy Spirit so long ago. Lord, open our eyes to see your truth, as you would show us the wonderful things of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're choosing a text to preach on today with a building connection wasn't really that difficult when you consider the Bible. We're spoilt for choice by the number of texts to do with buildings throughout the Bible. And preparing for today, I have been doing a little bit of rummaging around the church, looking in cupboards, digging out information. I know Robin Wilson has kindly been digging out information for us at the local library. And if you have time later on, if you are able to stay for tea and coffee, Robin's put together a wee sort of mini exhibition of things, interesting things for you to read and look at. And you never know what you might find in an old church, in an old cupboard. There's a story about two builders working on an old church. And one says to the other, "Behind this wall we find a skeleton wearing a gold medal round his neck." And his friend asked what it said on the medal. And it said, "Great Britain, hide and seek champion, 1891. So he'd got lost somewhere. But you'll be glad to know we haven't found any skeletons in any closets these past few weeks. But the passage that we just read a few moments ago, I thought would be good for today, although it has a building connection. But it's really about how God's people are described as a temple, and how God has chosen them for a great purpose. And today, as we remember the past, we're also looking to the future. And I think this passage is very relevant for us today. There are three things I want to point us to in the passage, which I think will help us today as we remember the past and as we look to the future. And seeing ourselves as God's people chosen for a great purpose. The first thing we're told here is that God is building a new temple, a spiritual temple. It was a great temple in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, one of the most wonderful buildings of the ancient world. And apparently it was covered in gold. The centre part was covered in gold, so you could see it from miles around as the sun shone upon it. And we're told here that in this temple, the foundation stone, the cornerstone, is Christ. So this temple that God is building is being built on Christ. I know some translations, older translations of the Bible here say capstone, but it's really the foundation stone is what it's talking about here, the cornerstone. And often when a cornerstone was built, extra care was given to it because it set off the whole building from where it starts off. If the cornerstone wasn't right, it was covered in bumps and lumps, then the rest of the building was going to have problems later on. And so we're told that our foundation, the foundation of this temple, is Christ himself, and we're told that it is precious, it is valuable. And what could be more valuable than Christ himself? I find it interesting here that you remember Jesus' words to Peter. He said, "Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." But here we find Peter writing and saying, "Christ is the rock. Christ is the real foundation upon which we are built, and the testimony of the apostles after him." I'm reminded very often by folk that the Mount Kirk is built on solid rock. It's absolutely solid rock under here. Though somebody once told me that there's a stream running under here, so there's water from the dam actually runs under the church building. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But we're told that we're standing on solid rock here, which is good to know. And hopefully this building will be here for many years to come, is on a good foundation. And we're told here that God himself is described as a living stone, that we are to be living stones, but we're told that God himself, Christ, is a living stone. And you wonder, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a living stone? You know, if you think of if you're building a building, you want a stone to be absolutely solid. You don't want it to be moving. You don't really want it to be living if you want a good, solid building. Imagine building a house made of blocks of jelly. Do you think it's going to last very long? It'd be an interesting thing to try out. Build a house out of jelly and see how long it stands up. But obviously, it doesn't mean that. It means in a spiritual sense that we are living stones. It says in verse 6, "Come as living stones." So we are to be living stones as well. I think what this means is that Jesus himself was the first living stone because he was dead and he rose again. Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, we too are made alive, that God makes us alive by his Spirit. Once we were spiritually dead, and by his Spirit he makes us alive, that we have a living faith. So this temple that God is building, it's made of people who, after Christ, know the truth of the risen Jesus in their life, and that the risen Jesus makes a difference, and that they have a living faith. Well, through one of the things that Robin dug out, I was learning that one of the inspirations for this building being built was on the back of the old Moody and Sankey revivals in Glasgow. And D.L. Moody, a great American preacher, I suppose a Billy Graham of his day, preached all over the country, great meetings in Glasgow, tens of thousands of people came to hear him. And apparently the wee congregation on the corner of Mount Pleasant Street began as a out of that revival in the late 1800s. And the congregation saved up money to build this church building, which we are in here today. And that came out of people realising that Christ was alive and that living Christ was in them and made a difference in their lives. And I think as we look to the future, our future is in Christ. Our future is having Christ as our foundation and having a living faith. As God is building us as a congregation, as his people into a temple, he's building us together as living stones. We're not dead stones, but living stones made alive by Christ. So it's important that Christ always remains our foundation. And then secondly, we see here that the people are given a new identity. They're given a new identity. We're told that they're now called kings of the priests, priests of the king. They're called a holy nation, God's own people. It says that once you were not God's people. Obviously, for those who were those who were Jews were called, they were called to be part of God's people. Those who weren't Jews were not a part of God's people until the coming of Jesus. And Jesus made it possible so that everyone could be a part of God's people and his holy nation that he was putting together. And so they have a new identity as a people. I had a phone call, in fact three phone calls the other morning, where somebody said to me on the phone, didn't even explain who they were, and they said, "You've got a problem with your computer." And I said, "What, a problem with my computer?" I said, "Who are you?" Didn't explain who they were. Just said, "Look, you've got a problem with your computer and we need some information from you." And I said, "Right." I said, "Well, what company are you calling on behalf of?" And they said the name. I said, "Well, I don't know that company at all." And I was getting quite irate by this time. I said, "Look, if there was something wrong with my computer, I would know about it. And even if there was, I wouldn't be giving information about it to you over the phone." And they actually had the gall to phone another two times to try and get me to give them information about my computer. You hear about identity theft, about people stealing your identity, maybe getting your bank details and all that kind of thing. And I think before I thought, well, nothing like that would ever happen to me. I could quite easily have given information over the phone, and so somebody else would be going around as the Reverend Francis Murphy, pretending to be me. So if you see somebody else walking along Blackhall Street claiming to be myself, it is not me. But God's people have a new identity because of Christ, the new life that is given to them. You know, this church's name changed and its identity changed over the years as a result of union, which has brought together three different congregations. And at the time of the union, when this congregation became the Mount Kirk, it brought together people from different congregations. And even today, we have people who join us from different congregations in different places. And God is building his people together, bringing people together. And I think as we continue on, look to the future, as a congregation, we're always changing. I think the church has to continue to reinvent itself to meet the missionary challenge that's before us. We're in a world that is changing all the time. There's always new gadgets coming out. There's always changes of government. Nothing ever seems to stay the same for very long in our world. Unfortunately for us, that means that sometimes we have to adapt. to those changes. But our identity in Christ never changes, and the message that we proclaim never changes. And I think that's something that is not always easy, but as we look to the future, we need to be aware of. Knowing who we are in Christ, but looking to the future and adapting to, not for the sake of adapting, but for the sake of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And then last of all, we see in this passage that God has given his people a new purpose. We're told in verse 5, they are to offer spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. We're told in the Bible that Jesus offered himself once and for all as a sacrifice for our sins. The sacrifices we make are our worship, giving of our lives, giving of our time, giving of our money, serving God and serving others. And we're told here in verse 9 that God's people are chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God. The wonderful acts of God. And what are those wonderful acts? It is that God has saved us. That God has called us to be his people. That God has changed us. Changed our hearts and changed our lives. And so we have good news to proclaim. When Peter himself stood up on the day of Pentecost, the message that he preached, that first sermon of the church which he preached, it was about Peter's own experience of knowing Jesus and what that had meant to him and to the other disciples and the wonderful change that had taken place in their lives. It was of their experience of the risen Christ. And so, in the same way, as we offer our spiritual sacrifices, we have a new purpose to share God's love, to share what God has done for us with others. And today we give thanks for the heritage that we have in this place. We give thanks for 100 years of witness to the gospel in this building. The gospel that has been proclaimed and where God has been worshipped. And I think our purpose is to carry on. Our purpose is to continue. Our purpose is to keep proclaiming the wonderful acts of God and all that God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. At the start of this centenary year, let us celebrate the past today, but look to the future with Christ as our foundation stone and knowing who we are in him. Do you know that you are loved? Do you know that Jesus died for you? Do you know who you are in Christ? That is very important, that we have Christ at the center of everything and we realize what he has done for us. And he gives us a new purpose, a purpose to love others, a purpose to share what he has done for us, a purpose to proclaim the gospel to all people. And so may God give us strength, may God guide us, may God give us the boldness and the courage to continue to share the gospel. And as we look to the next 100 years, hopefully, of worship in this place. I can't say there will be many of you still around then, but you never know if they can cryogenically freeze some of us. There may well be, unless somebody is playing hide and seek later on and gets lost in a cupboard somewhere. But may God bless this day, and may God bless many more years together in this building. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the encouragement of these words of the Apostle Peter, who reminds us of our foundation in Christ. We are reminded that if we build on any other foundation, we are not on solid ground. But Lord, help us to continue to make Christ the focus of all that we are and all that we do. And may we never lose that purpose. And Lord, as we make Christ our foundation, help us to realize who we are in Christ and all that you have done for us. And as you desire us to live as holy and godly people, so that we might proclaim your goodness to our lost and dying world, a world without Christ. So Lord, may the light of the gospel shine in our hearts and in this place for many years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.